The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. As always, your host, Cody Mallory. You can find me on Twitter at RealCodyMallory. Tonight, I am once again joined by Joe Farrow on Twitter. That is at the Joe Farrow. And we welcome back Anthony tonight. How are you doing, guys?
What's good? What's good? It's a long time no talk.
Yeah. Anthony kind of fell off the face of the earth for a little bit. But, I've been here holding down the fort. There has to be somebody doing it. everything's good.
Yeah, I'm getting over COVID for the second time here. But besides that, I'm doing well.
You unvaccinated swine, I swear to God.
That's not true, but let's move on. So since the last time we spoke, Joe, there was another preseason game. But before we go into that ass beating that the Nets took from the Miami Heat, I want to talk about Joe Harris because my concern level is growing and growing rapidly. So obviously he did not play against the Miami Heat. The team called it like cautionary, saying ankle soreness. It was also reported over the weekend that he did not practice this weekend, and he pretty much did not do anything at the practice in the park event. Several fans were there, told me that he was basically standing in one spot. Like, they said he wasn't even walking around. He was literally just pretty much standing in one spot. I don't know. Do you guys think, like, this is just PTSD from last year, or should there be reason for genuine concern at this point?
I can start with this. Yeah, I'm up on my panic meter at, like, a 5 or a 6 right now because I know, like, the preseason games don't matter. But for someone that hasn't played since late November when he rolled his rolled his ankle against OKC, It's been a scary ride. I think he needs like run, and if he's not getting run right now, I don't know if he's gonna be ready to start the season because he needs these preseason games just to get his legs under him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you, Anthony. I think my panic meter is probably about a 6, especially when you factor in that Seth Curry also might not be ready to start the season, and same thing with TJ Warren. So that's
it's a lot of shooting.
Exactly. That's like 3 of our top 4 role players / shooters. And like, that's a big, big deal. And I mean, I don't know if we are just like blowing it out of proportion as Nets fans, but at the same time, it's like the guy played one preseason game and now he's being held out with ankle soreness and he didn't do anything at practice. That doesn't give me the biggest vote of confidence in him.
Yeah, I mean, he completed all of training camp. He said at Nets Media Day he feels like night and day compared to now from when he did, I think it was last November when he hurt the ankle. But I don't know, man. I think part of my concern just goes into how the Nets handled it last year, where they pretty much called it ankle soreness for it felt like 3 years before he ultimately had 2 surgeries.
It was like 2 months of limbo. It was the worst. We had no idea what was going on. There was like a month, I think, there in the middle of there, like around the holidays, where like no one even knew what was going on. Like no one even mentioned his name.
Yeah, I mean,
last year's debacle with Joe Harris was just on another level of ridiculous. Like we had no information on that guy for months, and he just what originally was said to be a sprained ankle, and he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. We didn't hear anything for like a month and a half,
the Nets' staff needs to be better.
Absolutely, and like it's insane. Like going from last year and then now having this happen. I hope it's not the same case, but they said the first operation he had, there was still risk of him needing a second operation. He goes and gets that second operation, and now he's still having issues. I hope like it's nothing like long term.
Yeah, I mean, my concerns will rise if he does not play in the preseason game Wednesday. I mean, the NBA posted a video, it was about a minute and a half of Nets practice, which I don't know if you guys saw it, but Kyrie's layup package is still absurd. I mean, we already knew that, but
yeah,
I probably watched the video 5 times. I didn't see Joe Harris in it once, not on the sideline, not in the huddle. Like I didn't see him at all in the facility during the entire video. It was over from the weekend. I believe the video was from Saturday's session, but still, I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
With good reason.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't get why we can't just have like an injury, not injury free, because that's unrealistic in like any sport, or like a somewhat uneventful injury season. But seems like this is going to be a story at least the beginning of the year.
Yeah. So besides Joe Harris, let's just very quickly touch on Seth Curry, TJ Warren. So, I mean, nothing's changed with TJ Warren. We all know he will not be cleared until November at the earliest. So he will definitely miss opening night next Wednesday, 9 days from now. Seth Curry was questionable. He's been doing like non-contact in practices. He has not been cleared for 5-on-5 yet. That's pretty much the last hurdle. Based on the way Seth is trending, I would say it looks good that he's available at least in some limited capacity for opening night. Uh-huh. But once again, he's got to get cleared for that last 5-on-5. And I'm sure the Nets would like him to potentially play at least limited minutes in the last preseason game. But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you never want to have a guy play his first game on opening night, especially coming off of an injury like Seth is. I believe at media day he said he was cleared for like 2-on-2 and 3-on-3, right? So he's still like working up that ladder. He said he feels good though from what he was doing. At least that was at media day. So hopefully he is ready for opening night. But I can't see him running for more than 25 minutes on opening night if he doesn't at least get like 15 minutes in a preseason game before the opening night against the Pelicans.
Yeah, in that NBA video, Seth was coming off what looked to be a fake screen, turning, planting, and shooting threes. So, I mean, that's definitely a step in the right direction for someone that's coming back from ankle problems as well.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Let's very briefly just talk about the practice in the park event that the Nets host. None of us were there. It was reported that they had over 8,000 people there, the largest event or largest amount ever for the Nets who have been doing this. 10th year in Brooklyn. I saw videos. I'm sure you guys saw videos.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were complaining, saying it was poorly organized. Views were obstructed. I think there was just a lot more people than anticipated, if I had to guess. I still think it's an overall very cool event that the Nets host, get up and close and personal with the players. Obviously, we saw Kyrie get a very large, loud ovation, signing autographs for kids. Kevin Durant was there too. Steve Nash got booed when he was introduced, which is interesting.
Hilarious.
That's so funny.
And then Steve Nash's two kids were both wearing Kevin Durant's jerseys that I thought was also pretty funny.
He put a story up too on his Instagram, Steve Nash.
Yeah, overall, cool event. Like I said, unfortunately, none of us were able to make it, but
tell them not to make it on a football Sunday. Maybe I'd go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Should be on like a Saturday afternoon or something like that.
Yeah, it was cool though. Like I said, the pictures, videos, obviously Doug Barrick goes to every single Nuts event. So he sends me a bunch of stuff. It looked like it was a good time overall. All right, let's dive into the Heat game. Obviously, as we said before, there was no Joe Harris. There was also no Kyrie Irving, who welcomed a baby with his wife. Plain and simple, the Nets got their ass beat that game. They were every aspect, they were bad at. Like, Miami was physical. The Nets really missed Kyrie's ability to break a man down and create for his teammates. Honestly, Ben Simmons was bad this game. He was incredibly incredibly passive, like incredibly passive.
Yeah, that for sure was like the big takeaway for most people in the game. Like it was looking like shades of that the last time we saw him play basketball in a Philadelphia 76ers uniform, where he wasn't taking shots and just trying to pass everything away. But I mean, I'm not going to get too concerned about it because he's still trying to get his feel back on court. But yeah, he definitely did not look good.
My take from this, like, I think it's going to be my overall take for the year. Ben Simmons, like you said, in this like offense is perfect fit with next to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. If Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving miss a game and Ben Simmons is the second option, quote unquote, then I think you're going to see some performances like this where it's just like you need the second scorer and he's just not that kind of guy. He does everything else but that, and it kind of like exposes his weaknesses a little bit that we saw in Philadelphia. So like if you see games this year where like guys get rested and he's playing between like KD and Kyrie, I think you're gonna see some of these performances. Hopefully that changes, but at least early on, I would expect to see some of this.
Yeah, I mean that was clearly the downfall of the 76ers is that Ben Simmons really cannot be a second option on offense for a team, and at the same time, Tobias Harris really can't be the second option on a championship caliber team, and that ended up being their downfall. But when, in all honesty, like you said, Anthony, if Kyrie or KD miss a game, the Nets do not, I don't think they look have any favorable matchups.
They could be bad teams, don't get me wrong. Like if they play like Orlando or like Detroit, like they can definitely like still win. It's just the offense is not going to look as nice as it will when like playing. Like,
I mean, they just want
when we had James, it was different because James the scorer. That's why I think that's the difference here.
To be fair, if they were also missing T.J. Warren, who should be a scorer for the Nets, and they were also missing Seth Curry in addition to Joe Harris and Kyrie Irving.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you could argue they were missing four out of their top
five players. Yeah.
Four of their top five scorers or shooters they were missing, which really kind of highlighted Ben's inability to score right now.
Yeah.
He had Kyle Lowry in the post, like on the block, multiple times, and he would pass it out. Like, if he's not going to take jump shots, fine. I don't think any of us really anticipate or expected him to coming to Brooklyn. But when he's got Kyle Lowry on the block, on one-on-one, and he keeps kicking the ball out to Yuta Watanabe for three instead of going at him, like, that's when it's a problem. And, I mean, Ben said all the right stuff after in the press conference, like, yeah, I got to be more aggressive. I think he took, like, three shots or something in a game where Kyrie was missing.
I think
he took three shots, so.
I think you need to give Ben to at least, like, Christmas, like, New Year's this year to, like, really, like, get comfortable. After that, if he still looks like not that great, then that's when I would like begin to panic. The guy hasn't played in over a year. That's where like I stand on this. I don't know about you guys.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
No, I agree. And I mean, even Ben said, like, after the game, like, yeah, I got to be more aggressive. I'm still getting back into the swing of things, but I'll be fine. And, like, I kind of agree with that. Like Anthony said, he didn't play basketball for basically 18 months in an NBA game. So this is kind of to be expected. Everyone's not Kyrie Irving, who can just go out and score 30 with ease. But Ben still did everything else well. Like, he was rebounding the ball, which obviously the Nets need him to do. He had 10 rebounds in 25 minutes, which is a huge plus for the Nets.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Let me just say Kevin Durant looked amazing as expected. He was getting triple teamed in a preseason game, man. Like, that's Spo. I don't know what else to say. But Royce O'Neal continues to look good, in my opinion. Edmund Sumner. He didn't have a great shooting game, but he reminds me a little bit of Caris LeVert with how quick of a first step he has. And how he can get to the basket. And, like, even when he's driving, if you don't pay too close attention, you're like, wow, LeVert's back with the Nets? When did that happen?
Yeah. They're built similarly as well. And a lot of times also with, like, the way he plays defensively and just like how active he is, he also reminds me a little bit of David Nwaba in his Nets tenure, where he would just be all over the floor and just willing to go and do anything and switch everything and actually hold his own defensively. He's just so long and so quick, I think.
Poor David Nwaba, man. He freaking was given all the year and then he just died. Felt so bad.
He just got traded again in that like meaningless trade with like the Pistons, I believe.
Dude, that trade was Houston OKC made that weird trade?
It was Houston OKC. So you got sent to OKC. It was centered around like Saben Lee and like I don't even know. That Saben Lee and David Nwaba are the only two names I remember being involved.
I've never seen a trade between two non-contenders swap four players each. And, like, there was no headliner in the deal. It was just a swappage of, like, role players. I was like, what the hell is this?
All the replies were, like, it was like a Wikipedia image, and it just says the Battle of Mid. I'd be crying.
Anyone else stick out for you guys from the game? I don't know. Just some boys talking about OKC. It was kind of one of those games
to throw away.
Yeah, it was a throwaway game. I mean, Cam Thomas has shown flashes once again. He's looked pretty solid, but I really have been very impressed with Royce O'Neal. I mean, this is what we've all expected from him, but he has looked good, and I think he's definitely going to be a huge impact player for us.
Do you think he's going to start, or this is like if everyone's healthy type of thing, like if Joe's healthy, is it Joe or starting or Royce? I feel like the first four are kind of set with the big three and Claxton.
I feel like I would rather Royce come off the bench, truthfully.
I think so too, just because I think I like the more shooting in that starting line where you have Simmons and Claxton. Not that Royce isn't a shooter, but like,
yeah,
more of his open looks where Royce is more of like a catch and shoot guy, and that's it. I just feel
I mean, Royce has also shown flashes of ability to get to the rim and finish inside as well. So But, like, Royce has looked really good. I think his play would be a better impact off the bench than it would in the starting lineup while we already have so much scoring and shooting ability on the floor. I don't know. I feel like if a healthy Joe Harris is there, Joe Harris should start and let Royce come off the bench with Steph and the other guys.
I agree with that. I just want to see where you guys were. I don't get why the Nets don't have a center in the roster, to be completely honest with you, but
I just want to really quickly talk about that. I think if Joe Harris is completely healthy, it's Joe Harris's job to lose.
Yeah.
If that ankle's still stabbing him and he can only give 20 minutes a night, then I would have no problem with Royce O'Neal starting and Joe kind of playing in a limited role.
Yeah.
And I think they both could be in the closing lineup against 75% of the teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
Whereas what I mean by that is with the Nets going small without Claxton in a closing lineup. But like I said, you could probably get away with that against 75% of the teams in the NBA. So that's something to keep an eye on. But
So what you're saying is we cannot run that against the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves, probably Philly.
Milwaukee,
Denver.
Yeah, I think you get away with it against Miami. Honestly,
you might be able to because they like to run small as well. And Bam is also kind of undersized for a
spot. What about Boston?
No.
If they don't have Rob Williams playing, which he's hurt in the beginning of the year, I think it's possible.
Well, it's possible. If they're running a lineup without Horford and Williams on the floor at the same time, if they run that, you got to put Claxton in immediately.
Yeah.
Correct.
You got to match up. You have to play the matchups at that point.
Correct. But if they just have Horford in, I think they can get away with it, especially since the Nets will have three guys that are practically 6'10", two guys 6'10". So.
It's going to be so
annoying.
It's just
those certain teams like you said, like Philly, like Milwaukee, like Minnesota that would give issues with like a closing lineup without Claxton in it.
It's going to be annoying all year hearing about this. Like we need – like I already know it's going to happen. It's going to be up until the trade deadline, the Nets need a center. The Nets need a center. The Nets need a center. It's going to be our talking point of the year. I'm already going to hear about it. I already know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know why we're delaying the inevitable. I guess maybe there's not that much great options left. They should address that already. I don't know if Dayron's ready to be that backup five, but Markieff Morris is not a five, in my opinion. But I guess we'll have to learn that lesson the hard way.
Speaking of needing a center, there was a report, I forgot where it was from, that the Nets would be interested in trading for Mo Bamba or Kyle Kuzma.
Give me Mo Bamba immediately.
So I personally put on my Twitter that what do you guys think it would be too much if the Nets gave up Cam Thomas, Seth Curry, and the first round draft pick, whether it's from Philly, whoever it comes ends up coming from because of the swap with the Royce O'Neal trade, for Mo Bamba? And I would say about 80% of Nets Twitter said I was insane, said my basketball takes suck, which it wasn't even my take. I was asking a question. But what do you guys think? Do you think Mo Bamba could potentially be the answer that the Nets need? And would you be willing to give up Seth Curry to get a center? Let's assume Joe Harris is healthy because, I mean, that's a big factor in it.
Mo Bamba, I don't think I'd give that much, personally. I think I'd give up that package for maybe Miles Turner.
Oh, back to Miles Turner we go. I would do it. I absolutely would. We have, I think with everybody healthy, we do have enough shooting on this team. And frankly, I don't want to like diss Seth Curry in any way, but we have without Seth Curry, there's more size and there's not equivalent, but we make up for the shooting with the other guys that we have. But I think Mo Bamba would be such an invaluable piece to this team with the way the roster is currently constructed. I would be willing to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to throw out there that Mo Bamba is on a very team-friendly two-year deal. I think he's like $9 or $10 million each year.
Yep.
Which, I mean, the Nets window, like, it's not a 10-year window. Like, it's probably a 2 or 3 year window, depending on what happens with Kyrie and KD. Like, that would be the perfect player, in my opinion, especially to pair with Ben. Seth Curry, in my opinion, I think we all saw it last year, obviously to the extreme in the playoffs, because they also had Patty Mills out there. But Seth Curry, you cannot play next to Kyrie Irving in the playoffs, in my opinion.
Yep.
I agree.
That's just why Joe Harris is so much more valuable, because he's 6'6". He's not a great defender by any means, but he helps rebound. Like, he averages like 4 a game over the last couple of years. He's not a traffic cone that you can just shoot over, which is what, unfortunately, Steph Curry is. Now, I do think when Kyrie comes out of the game and Ben Simmons and KD are out there, that you can definitely play Seth, because you could put him on the point guard. So I do think he's like a player you absolutely can't play in the postseason, but he can't be in a closing lineup with Kyrie Irving, in my opinion.
That's a good point. Yeah, honestly, now that you mentioned that, I do agree with that. I would. The reality of it is, I think we'd rather keep Seth over Patty if it came down to it. But Seth Curry has the trade value here, so I think you have to just play into that and just be like, cut your losses.
Yeah, and also John Marks would be very, very hesitant to move Patty Mills.
I'm just saying, I think from a basketball standpoint, Seth Curry's a better player.
No, yeah, 100%.
Not even close. But you got to come down to, like, what does Orlando want? They want what probably 15, maybe not 15, but 10 other teams want. They want the 8-foot unicorn that's draining threes in the G League right now. They don't want Patty Mills, who's on a 2-year contract. Seth Curry, they'd be fine with 1 year. I had someone actually tweeted me. I was like, why would they want Seth Curry? They should go for Patty Mills. Like, bro, what? Like, oh, Seth Curry's on a 1-year deal. Like, yeah, that's exactly what a team like Orlando would want. They don't
want to flip him too, honestly, for another asset.
Right. They don't want to pay a guy or keep him long term that's 30 years old. Like, they're trying to rebuild. So that's exactly the type of player they would want. I don't know. I mean, I think it makes sense to me. Obviously, Mo Bamba can't be traded until, I think it's like January 15th anyways, because he just signed the contract. So if that is the guy the Nets have in mind, it would absolutely linger very far into the regular season again, which I feel like we've dealt with the last 2 seasons. But what about Kyle Kuzma? It kind of haunts me, because there were several rumors that was the Nets could have gotten Kuzma in the Dinwiddie sign and trade, and Sean Marks said no.
Joe Tsai's pocket said no.
Yeah, Joe Tsai's pockets could have been the one to also have said no. Do you guys think Kuzma would be big enough to help the Nets out?
I would love to have a guy like Kyle Kuzma on the Nets, but I don't think that makes up the lack of size in our lineup. I feel like it's just adding another TJ, a younger TJ Warren to our
team. Well, it's like he kind of gives me Royce O'Neal vibes.
Yeah, like it's literally like pick one of the two, Royce O'Neal, fuck TJ Warren, get a center.
Please. I think wings we're pretty good on now. We have a lot. I think the center, and then even like a pass first point guard other than like Ben might be like something we can look at. I think wing might be our last need at this point, because we have Harris.
Loaded up on wing.
What?
We loaded up on wings.
We did. Last year, that was our weakness. Now I think we loaded, so I think we're good on that. I think that's like the one thing we're actually like set on.
Now,
yeah, I mean,
it's fucked up.
I don't love the idea of Kuzma, especially if you have to give up a valuable, I'll say a valuable asset like Cam Thomas and the draft pick, because those are pretty much your only movable assets. And I definitely think center is the biggest need for the Nets. There's no shot they can enter the playoffs with just Nick Claxton. I think we can all agree on that. It's just a matter of, do they address it through a trade? Do they address it through a buyout or a free agent?
Can we please not do the buyout way again? Like, be aggressive. Go do something. We've tried this.
Don't work. Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins is still sitting there. I'm just saying, Boogie.
I would take
Boogie sounds nice in theory. Boogie does sound nice in theory, but in reality, the last 2 years he's been picked up on multiple 10 days and like vet minimums, and he hasn't done anything.
He was decent with Denver.
For who?
He was average.
I don't know. He showed flash, but at the same time, it's like the majority of the time the guy's not doing anything.
I'm saying 15 minutes, give it a flyer from like November to December when you're just trying to like...
I agree. I would like it. And especially if he pans out. But like, they should have addressed this beforehand.
I just don't get it. It makes no sense.
I'm going to be honest. I think, like, I don't want to point blame on Kevin Durant, but I definitely feel like the Kevin Durant situation had an impact on this.
It did.
Yeah, it did. The final signing here.
The whole offseason was stalled. because of that.
Yep, exactly. And speaking of stretch bigs, this is a little off topic. Did you guys see Andre Drummond knock down three threes the other night? Like, what the hell?
I have no idea. I saw that.
And, like, they weren't like, oh, like, this guy chucked up a three and it clanked off the backboard and went in. Like, they were, like, nothing but net. Like,
He was looking for it. He was sitting there looking for it.
Yeah, it wasn't at the end of the clock and he's like, oh, I got to chuck it up. Like, he was spotting up at the top of the key.
He was waiting. Yeah,
Ben Simmons, man, if Andre Drummond can do it, you can too.
What I'm saying.
That's the last one I've ever seen make a three. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, they looked good. They looked good too. So, but Milwaukee on Wednesday.
Yummy.
Wednesday.
Kyrie will be back. Hopefully, Joe plays, even if it's the 15 to 20 minutes.
I doubt they're gonna push him, man. I really do.
He's ramping up.
stop it! Stop it, Anthony.
That word like forever ingrained in my head.
Yeah, no more of that. And then the Nets got Milwaukee Wednesday, the T-Wolves on Friday, and then opening nights against the Pelicans, who obviously we will go much further in depth about the Pelicans probably next Monday, I would imagine, a week from tonight. But they scare the hell out of me. I think they're a horrible matchup for the Nets. But like I said, we can go a lot more in depth on that next week.
Yes, for sure.
Like, I just want to say, who the hell is going to guard Zion Williamson, who looks tremendous in preseason?
I mean, well.
Oh, man.
Mo Bamba, gotta cut Anthony off for the night.
Yeah, bro. Get Anthony out of here again. I think Zion could dunk Patty Mills through the basket, let alone the ball. Hey, if he picked up Patty, I think he could forcefully throw him through the basket.
Probably.
It'd be like Quinn and Williams yesterday against Tyreek Hill. You see that play?
Yeah.
Speaking of that, how about the Giants and the Jets? A little off topic.
Let's go.
New York football is back.
New Jersey football is back.
Okay, Joe.
Jersey football is back.
New York football has been back. The Buffalo Bills are running rampant.
Yeah.
New York Jets are back.
The New Jersey Jets and the New Jersey Giants.
RIP to the Mets, by the way. I just want to throw that out there.
My God, they fucking stink.
Good.
They
got one hit in a game seven, practically.
Last chance. Going to a playoff game for the Yanks?
Bro, my bank account's hurting. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'll be there Thursday for all you Yankees Nets combo fans. Thursday.
I will not be going to a Red Sox playoff game this year. My bank is also
hurting. Oh, yeah, yeah. I wonder why.
Because there is
none. Anyways, anything else about the Nets you guys want to touch on? Or?
I would like to see Zion Williamson dunk Patty Mills. That's that would be quite entertaining.
I'd like to win basketball games this year and not just take the regular season off. That's like win basketball games.
Yeah.
I know this is cliche, but it looks like Kyrie Irving and Simmons, the main question marks for showing up and playing, they all look pretty bought in. So I don't want to say I'm confident, but I'm somewhat confident going into the season that they all have something to play for and they have no choice but to be bought in 100%.
Yes, sir.
But, all right. Thank you guys for once again listening to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Joe, Anthony, and Cody. Bucks on Wednesday, T-Wolves on Friday, and the regular season starts next week.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.